Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go, me oh my oh. Me gotta go, Paul, to be rogue down the bayou. My chili sweet for me, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bayou. Not jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my Sheriff Leo. Pick guitar, Phil Fruchar, and be Gale. Son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bayou.
Harry Connick Jr. has received Grammy and Emmy Awards as well as Tony nominations for his live and recorded musical performances, his achievements in film and television, and his appearances on Broadway as both an actor and a composer. The foundation of Connick's art is the music of his native New Orleans, where he began performing as a pianist and vocalist at the age of 5. On Saturday, June 23rd at 7 o'clock, Harry Connick Jr. will be performing a New Orleans tricentennial celebration at Tanglewood. So it is a great pleasure to welcome Harry Connick Jr. back to the roundtable. Good morning, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Well, very nice to have you. What has it been like to put this summer tour together?
I've just been excited to do it. You know, I didn't have a lot to do with putting it together only because I've been busy on so many other things. But I was talking to my management about, you know, doing some sort of celebration, you know, with New Orleans and its tricentennial. And they put together the tour, and I was thrilled, and here we go.
So as far as repertoire, it's basically what you've always done, right?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm going to be playing songs from, you know, lots of different genres, but they're all going to be related to New Orleans. So if people are coming to hear, you know, maybe some of the things I did on When Harry Met Sally, I'm not sure if we're going to be doing, you know, a lot of that stuff, but it's going to be everything from traditional jazz to more modern jazz to R&B to funk to gospel, just all of the different kinds of music that I played when I was growing up there.
You're not a set list kind of guy, are you?
Not really, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. People, you know, have structured shows, and I think that's terrific. But for me, I like to sort of play off of the audience and see what they're responding to and do a show that's kind of custom-made for each individual crowd.
When it comes to the just sitting there, and you instinctively know what will come next, then that just comes to you at the moment, and that isn't that the wonderfulness of jazz music in and of itself?
I think so, and it's not that I'm always right, but it's what I feel at the time, and it's that connection that you have, you know, with the other musicians and with the audience that makes that show unique. And when that show's over, there's not going to be another show like that, because so much of what we play rides on how the audience responds, you know. So it's a collaborative effort in a sense, and I like that.
So when it comes to the other musicians on stage, is that a regular, is that a core group of people that you play with?
Yeah, it's the same band I've had for forever. I mean, some of the band members have changed over the years, but we put the band together in 1990, and it's pretty much been the same band ever since.
Well, 11 people, right? Some of my 11 musicians.
Yeah, that's about right.
A lot of horns.
Yeah, horns, and Jonathan Dubose is on guitar, and have a great rhythm section, and it's an amazing group of musicians. It's the kind of musicians that I would go see, you know, just as a group. Without me, I would go just to check them out. They're amazing.
Does the piano come with you?
It does. It's a Steinway that I've played for years and years and years, and every night after the show, the crew takes it down. They kind of put it on its side and take the legs off, and they put it in a big giant case with wheels on it. It goes on the truck, and then they take it out in the next town.
And I would think it would be very nerve-wracking to just show up at a place and assume that they'll have a piano that meets your specifications.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I grew up playing on anything and everything. You know, some pianos were horrible, some of them were great, and that's just part of it. But it is nice, you know, to know that I'm going to have the same instrument. That's a nice constant in a world of variables, for sure.
as you mentioned, you've been a very busy guy. So you ended the talk show. You'd been doing the Harry show for 2 years, two seasons. What was that like, and were you sad to see it go?
I was really sad to see it go. It was an amazing experience for me. I loved being on TV every day. I loved playing with my band every day and all the things that we did, you know, highlighting incredible people, doing a show that wasn't political, doing a show that was uplifting and inspiring and, you know, bereft of conflict and controversy. You know, those are the things that I wanted to do. And I had 2 years to do it, and we had an amazing time. Unfortunately, it didn't go on, and that's showbiz. You know, that's how it works, and everybody in this business knows that, you know, nothing really lasts forever. So although I was sad to see it go, it's something that that happens, and then, you know, you just move on to the next thing. But I loved it while I did it, for sure.
Is that a hard thing to crack into, of getting people attuned to seeing you at the same time every day?
I think in syndication it is, and for your listeners who may not know specifically what syndication is, there's two different ways to do it on network television. You can either have a network show, which means right. It's going to be on one network at the same time across the country, just like American Idol was, for example. It was on at 9 p.m. on Fox or whatever it was. On a syndicated show, it's on a different network in every city, and it can be on at different times of the day. So it might be on at, you know, NBC in Boston at 2 in the afternoon, and it might be on at 9 in the morning in Cleveland on ABC. And so that's very difficult to do. So, but we knew that going in, and we knew that it would be an uphill battle. We really loved it for the time that we did it, and we were thankful for the time that we had.
When you do a show like that, or even with when you were a judge on American Idol, it must be nice just to have a gig that keeps you in one place at one time and you don't have to be out on the road.
It is. I mean, I love everything involving touring, you know, but one of the things that, you know, that is one of the more difficult things is that you have to be away from your family. You know, I mean, I love to travel, but when I have to go out for weeks at a time and not be with my family, that's a little bit harder. But things like Broadway or things like my TV show or American Idol, those are more consistent things, and there's pros and cons to all of it, but yeah, it was nice to have sort of a home base during those times.
Earlier in the spring, you were at the Paper Mill Playhouse performing in The Sting. This is a musical adaptation of course, the classic film. And what was that like, and what are your hopes for this production?
I had an amazing time. It was an incredibly creative group of people. I was fortunate to play Paul Newman's part. There's a young performer named Jay Harrison G, who's just a force on stage. He was playing the Robert Redford part. New songs. Well, songs were written because obviously there were no songs before. And it was just an incredible experience to do. We did about 6 weeks worth of shows at the Paper Mill in New Jersey. And the intent for those things is for it to go to Broadway. But that's completely out of my control. There's a lot of factors that determine whether shows end up on Broadway or not. As a matter of fact, if next time anybody goes to see a Broadway show, it's kind of a miracle that those things even exist, because there's so many people involved and so many things that have to fall into place. So, you know, if we're lucky, it'll go to Broadway. If not, we had a great time doing the workshop, but it just remains to be seen. There's a lot of factors involved.
The last time I saw you, was the last time you were on Broadway, was on A Clear Day?
That's right.
On A Clear Day, You Can See Forever. And that was on Broadway. And it ended early, but again, a great show, and a classic too.
Yeah, it's an amazing show, and you know, I don't think that's exactly what the audience wanted to see. I had an amazing time doing it. You know, we probably thought it would have gone on a little bit longer, but for whatever reason, it didn't last really long. But it was, you know, it's funny, those things. I'm kind of a glass half full kind of guy, and I'm one of the people that, I don't really cry when things end. I just smile because they happened. And that was one of those things where I loved every minute of it, and then it was over and it was time to go on to the next thing.
So it doesn't sour you at all when you think about, maybe coming back with a Sting, I'd be a little more hesitant, or no, just if the project's good, the project's good, and you move ahead.
I jump in, all the way, every time. It's not based on what I think, how it's going to do commercially. If I thought about that, I wouldn't have picked, the kind of music that I played to play, because, this kind of music I play is not something that you would think would be as commercially successful as some of the other types of music out there. I have to love what I do, and whether people dig it or not, that's kind of beside the point, but it's they know whether they like it or not that it's something that I really wanted to do.
But people do dig you. They dig seeing you. They enjoy seeing you out on the road, seeing you live, seeing you perform the type of music that you grew up with.
I mean, that's a really nice thought, and I would like to think that people like to see me and watch me perform, because it's something that's so important to me, and performing for the audience is so important. It's almost like, the audience is just a big collection of individual people, and it's hard to think sometimes that there really are people there. There are people who work for a living and save their money and decide out of all the choices that they have with their entertainment dollar that they're going to spend it on me. And so when I go out on the stage, I lay it out there as 100% every single time. I don't care if I have a cold or if there's something going on in my life or whatever. Those people know that when I give them that show for those 2 or 3 hours or wherever it is, I'm giving them everything I have. And I never lose sight of what an honor it is to be able to perform for them.
I don't mean this to be a psychological question, although it may come off that way, which is, it seems to me there's something, whether it be performing on Broadway or even doing a talk show where there are a lot of people involved, that there must be something lovely, even though you're sharing the stage with other musicians, but you're in charge. It's you. You're out there, and you have incredible freedom to do what you want to do.
It's an incredible luxury. I can't even describe it. When I was doing my TV show and I'd come out and I'd see my name, in lights, essentially, and that's what you work for. And I'm not sure why everybody works for that, but for me, the significance of being the person in charge making the decisions is that I've made decisions that I'm comfortable with, and I've stayed true to the things that are important to me, and now I'm able to do that for a large audience, and I haven't compromised anything. And that's really significant to me. And I also am aware of the responsibility. My wife, Jill, just passed 5 years of having breast cancer, and we did a show, one of the shows, where she was talking about her experience because she felt compelled to educate people in ways that they may not be regarding her circumstances. And if I had a nickel for everybody that wrote in and says, we didn't know that getting a sonogram because I have dense breast tissue, we didn't know about that, and I went in the next day, they found something that was operated on. That's heavy, man. That's heavy for a guy who's a piano player from New Orleans to suddenly have the responsibility of potentially having a life-changing impact on someone. So I take that stuff really seriously, I never, ever take it for granted.
But it also makes, I assume, it makes you feel that what you're doing is incredibly worthwhile.
Well, it's worthwhile for, it's always worthwhile for me.
Right.
And I guess because I'm an artist, I want to, it's about fulfilling things that are important to you, but then you realize that none of us is alone on this journey, and what are we going to do? How are we going to choose to use whatever platform that we have, to take everybody along with us? And you can either make decisions that work or decisions that don't. And so far, everything I've done works for me because it's coming from a place of sincerity. I don't like to fake things. I like to do things the way I like to do them, and hopefully they'll have an impact on people, and so far I've been real lucky with that.
The date is Saturday, June 23rd at 7 o'clock. Harry Connick Jr. will be performing a New Orleans tricentennial celebration at Tanglewood. Again, Saturday, June 23rd at 7. You can find out more by going to tanglewood.org. Harry Connick Jr., always a pleasure to speak with you. Best of luck and have a great time coming to the Berkshires.
Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Thank you. Again, you can find out more about Harry Connick Jr. performing a New Orleans tricentennial celebration at Tanglewood by going to tanglewood.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Oh, my Nola, same old song and dance. Don't let her catch you with a care. She won't let you down if you give yourself the chance. Oh, won't you let me take you there? Oh, my Nola never goes away. Look for her crescent in the